back. I need some get back. Payback. Payback. That is payback. But then I'm mad to get down with my girlfriend. That ain't right.
For the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a beautiful day here, and I'm glad to be looking for the big payback. All the good things going on and all the bad things going on, but the day of reckoning is coming along, you know. There's three favorite alphabets of mine lately, a couple of them. The FBI. I think that's going to put a lot of silence to and some revelations and some transparency and all kinds of things. And those that we say are falsifying or lying to us, we'll find get closer. And those that are stroking us and pointing the finger, we'll find out too. At least that's the dream, that's the desires. But the three favorite alphabets today is FBI, and it's just we don't give them credit. They tend to get the bad names and the insults and the accused of being sneaky. But hey, folks. If it wasn't for them, what I'm seeing here, the average American citizen is buying into all of this. And so just be thankful that there's somebody left some alphabet soup around so you can get by, because all the ones that have talked this storm up and making excuses on American. All of those that are pointing fingers on American. How did it get to this point? Anyway, touch anything in the country now, and you might get a straight answer about 6 months later. You might. And I got a couple of situations here that I want to share with you why we and you and me and everybody else in the house tree and wherever they are got to turn to themselves and say, how is it that someone can perpetuate or pull these tricks on us and we're left standing in the headlights in the middle of the road like, uh-huh, you know, and then become smart about it and we're intellectual about it and, it's just simply amazing how we've learned to excuse people for doing bad things and abuse people that do good things, and it's crazy. And I told you last week or the week before, and I want to emphasize, this is not some guy that just me, myself, and I. We're not doing this because we can't come up with anything else. To be honest with you, half my dream is dissipating as I show up on Sundays thinking that I'm helping the system help you understand and help you protect yourselves from yourselves and help you protect yourselves from others who are abusive and can abuse the system. I'd like to be off somewhere sitting on the beach photographing shorebirds or seabirds or something like that, my greatest dream. But I gravitate back here, not to say because I think it's just a good effort, but if you eat fish, if you like poke, if you like tilapia, if you like other fish and fish loins and all of that, please, 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 for those of you that got iron stomachs and can handle this, my hat's off to you. Drink more whiskey after you eat it and it's all right. You and I can hang out. But children, the elder, people with weakened immune systems, just in the business report now, the business report, this is how it is sinking in the Star Advertiser, September 6th, Saturday, just yesterday, ahi shipments found with hepatitis A. Remember I just a week ago told you about the concerns and that it had hepatitis A, and they find this, and there's repeated findings and discoveries and sampling, and that's just a fragment. It's not even measurable compared to the amount of shipments that really come in. And the company that is involved here, the individuals, they've historically been around with this. They were introducing the seafood from imported sources. So please, 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 on my dying knees, to say to you, this is no laughing matter. Again, you don't know when you get sick. It must have been something you ate. That's the standard response. Oh, he died so sudden. She died so sudden. She was doing great, had dinner, and what did she have? Well, or he have. It was a fish product or what have you. And, you know, please, the State Health Department, the FDA, they're not equipped and not designed and does not have the desire to impede commerce. You're on your own. They are relying on telling you that if you get the good thing about this whole process is that if you suspect that you've consumed fish with hepatitis A, take a shot within 2 weeks. How irresponsible and how negligent is that on the part of the government to even utter such nonsense? How about that if you, the distributor, the importer, if you fail to sample it and test it and confirm that it's free of contaminants or poisons or hepatitis or salmonella, what have you, before you market that fish, before you distribute it. You can import the world, a shipload of it, no problem, if you insist. But before any of it, and in this recent case, again, it was a mix-up. Now, some of these people in this business, as I've told you, have gone and were selling fish that were not of the species that were claiming that it was. It was onaga, opakapaka, but from Thailand, which would have been pink Thai snapper. But what was the quality, what was the care that it gave? So I know that probably some of you have a desire or need to dismiss anything coming across airwave now because it could be fake or it could be, but it can't be any faker than your thing called fresh fish caught daily. And here you are, if it was caught daily, okay, great, good for you. But how does it get being caught daily, brought from the Philippines or Vietnam or Thailand or Fiji or what have you, aboard a ship? And does it matter if it was caught daily for your concerns? So I'm pleading with you, if nothing else, put your children first, put your elder first, and, you know, you got an iron stomach, you can handle this. But the frozen foreign tuna sold by Hilo Foods was distributed in three mainland states. I believe that this company, which is related, there was Tropic Fish and then there was Hilo Fish, and I think Hilo Foods, I think they should all, there should be a hearing. The Senate should, or the legislators should hold a hearing on the safety specifically. We talk about sustainable and all of that. Well, it's clearly not sustainable. And we talk about the fish was caught with a environmentally sound. This is hogwash. It's pure hogwash when the volume of fish or fish products or seafood products that are brought in from out of country now is ridiculous. And this sustainable and all of that, it's just play on words, dolphin free, play on words, because when they serve you mahi-mahi loins or ahi loins or yellowfin skipjack tuna or what have you, that's coming from the Philippines. That's coming from Vietnam. Do they have the same, even when we talk about sustainable, even when we look at the type of fisheries, we're critical, and I am too. I'm quite critical of the local longline fishing boats. But at some point, something has to give, because we're struggling here to get circle hooks, bird scarce gadgets, and only do certain areas, close the fisheries in certain areas and what have you, put it on ice at a certain time. These are the that we focus on the American fishing fleet. This is what they have to dance to. But how do you know that the tuna that is sold, that's imported, the yellowfin tuna, the mahi-mahi, is turtle-free, dolphin-free? Probably it wouldn't matter anyway, because you don't care. Because, and this other thing that it's cheaper. Not necessarily. When you look at what they're selling you, so if you take a pound of ahi, local caught ahi, fresh, whatever, even that, and remember now, unless they're going out and catching it today and bringing it back to the auction block and you have the fortunate opportunity of buying a piece of it today, that's okay. That would fall into the term of fresh, in my opinion. But then there's a definition, I'm sure, industry-wise. But for the sake of conversation, so that's fresh. Now, but a boat that leaves and go out and fish for 10 days, it has to transit the area, take a couple days, take another couple of days. So they're taking measures to keep their fish fresh. They're on the HACCP, guarding against spoilage. And contrary to what you might think, and these guys, you know, if you bring them a spoil shipment, you didn't hurt anybody but yourself as a fisherman. So there's these things in place that dictate, well, if you want to screw around, you don't have to worry about that. Nobody's going to intentionally go out and hang out all day and all for 15, 20 days and be reckless and come back. It just is not good economics, and it's not good business sense. And the boat will sink metaphorically. But so that's what and when they charge you a certain amount of money per pound, that's high. Some say high. But at least you're getting something that has some guards against spoilage and feeding you contaminated fish and what have you. And I know, I can hear the environmentalists now. Yeah, but bruh, you don't know about the mercury in the fish and the tuna in the local area. Yeah, well, you know, we all got lead in our asses too, but we can't seem to get it out when it comes to other issues. But the point is, so you have that fish, and it's $12.99 a pound, or in poke, or higher. So, or $23 a pound for fresh loin or whatever. And now you have some assurances that it's fresh and it's safe and what have you. And then over here, they bring it in and inject it with carbon monoxide to preserve the color, not to enhance the color, but to mask the color. Okay. So you take this fish, and I call it rotten fish because my opinion is based on what I've read about histamines and all of that and the decay of these fish, and many of them are scombroids, that the shelf life can be longer, but the histamines are still active, especially when you put them on ice and freeze them. The histamines does not retard it or slow. They may slow down a little bit, but that does not get rid of them. So you buy old fish for $9.99 a pound or $10.99 a pound. And over here, that's for imported. And for local fish, you pay $12.99. And then I've actually seen it in one restaurant and store in Miley area on the west side. It was neck and neck with the fresh. You look at the little stickers there. So it does not mean you're protected because, and smoking the fish, it's another misnomer. A misnamed practice or lead you wrong. It's not like smoked salmon where you get the hickory smoked wood and the all of that and the cherry chips or, you know, oak wood. No, it's not. That's not the kind of smoke it is. The smoke that they're talking about is carbon monoxide. And in the early stages, it would be derived from burning of trash and garbage. That was in the earlier stages of this. I don't know. And it depends on the integrity of the fish company or whoever's doing it. So, again, this is something that I know it's repetitive, and I'm preaching to you as if I'm scolding you, but you just don't know the dangers and the potential of how many times you play Russian roulette with your family, with yourself. And unfortunately, we have a state agency and a federal agency that play games because their whole thing is not to impede commerce, but to enhance it. How many people die from this? We don't know. How many times have you studied it? We haven't. How many times when the person goes to the doctor and says, I'm sick, what did you eat? The doctor isn't going to draw the conclusion that it was carbon monoxide treated fish. They may say, I ate some poke, but he's not going to go, well, was it from the Philippines? Was it from Vietnam? Was it previously frozen? Was it treated with carbon monoxide? You'd never know. So I'm saying this in a fashion that it may not go over well with you, but I have been at this now for many years, and nothing has changed on the part of the State Health Department and the USDA. Everything is shrouded in secrecy. In the original beginning of this import, many things occurred. And I talked about this on the show. Some of these people that were involved in this were threatened with indictments. Their documents were seized. Their computers were seized on the Big Island that were involved in the import and distribution of this imported fish. So it's not a playing matter. And then I see some of these names reappear. And it's at some point, the State Health Department and our state legislators need to make a strict requirement that while we know we can't check every shipment because it may be commingled with other food items, but what we can do, if you are an importer here and a distributor here in Honolulu, when you're in receipt of that fish, before you distribute it to your wholesalers or retailers or whoever, you'd better sample it, test it for contaminants or hazardous materials contained in it, and then you must immediately destroy it, not have the shipment rejected, and then or be on an honor system to go up and dump it in the landfill. So, folks, I don't know. This is a private lab. It says private lab tests a fish from two Hilo fish foreign suppliers. One in Vietnam and one in the Philippines were found to contaminate with hepatitis. Now, this should have been front page because this is a matter of life and death. But it's floundering in the business section, you know. And it's we're always striving to do the best for all of our customers, he said. We continue to strive for the best. This is Mr. Unamoto. Said the company, which was also employs two full-time quality control inspectors based in Asia, right? Two full-time quality control inspectors based in Asia. Will need to study how it might better sample the imported seafood to catch problems before products are consumed. Folks, you should be shaking in your boots now when something like that is written. Two people in Asia. How big is Asia? So for every shipment, if the guy is in Indonesia today and a company wants to ship out from Vietnam a shipment tomorrow morning, do you think it's plausible or even possible or that anybody would spend that kind of money when you have two agents that are just busy hopping on the plane, running over, sticking and testing a sample, doing a lab and putting a, it's impossible. So this article was quite revealing and not revealing. I've already shared these things with you about the NOAA's permitting process that they give permits for $10,000 or whatever the amount was, and many occasions they don't even see the facility. And I worry about you because I can sit here and tell you some many other things that I've been investigating and disturbed, but I thought I'm just going to emphasize and repeat once again that you are playing with a dangerous item. When you purchase it's a guessing game. You might as well go to a Japanese restaurant and ask to eat the puffer fish and just sit there and drink beer and sake and, you know, it sounds good anyway, but I'll skip the puffer fish and I'll take the sake. But my point is, how can you have two agents in Asia, as broad as Asia and as large as Asia is, to do what? To go and test the samples before they're distributed? Impossible. But what is possible is that it could be 1 million pounds coming in to putting into the shipping containers and going at various places around the world. But here in Honolulu, anything comes in must be inspected. That would be the cost to the Unimotos and others that want to sell and trade in this imported fish. 524-1080 is the number, and again, I feel like I have to apologize because I don't want to be the naysayer and say to you repeatedly over and over and over again, but I just have to think about how unsuspecting mother and child, and I don't know, some say, well, we don't feed our young at a certain age poke anyway because of the mercury and the lead that all the heavy metals that are associated they found in some fish and pregnant mothers. But I got to tell you, when you go to parties, when you go to many of the buffets and look and see, and you all you can eat poke, I mean, you can just rake it on by the truckloads. You think they're giving you top choice fish for $19.99 a person or $25 a person? Be careful, folks. This is something that we don't know its impact because there's no one keeping track. And when they do get something, it's always cloaked in secrecy or strategy, or they're going to approach it and they don't want to harm the business, and all of these kinds of silly things. When you got your face down in the toilet bowl, or worse than that, you're on blood transfusions or something or you're getting hepatitis shots, or you find that you contracted hepatitis from eating that. So it's a major at Tropic Fish. President Sean Tenoy previously said that the company's normal procedure is to test seafood and receive results before distributing the product, and that this procedure wasn't followed for the particular contaminated shipment distributed on Oahu. Wow. See how serious our state agencies and the health department, and I'm not just being foul-mouthed about it because I got nothing to talk about or don't feel good about it. It's these kinds of practices that I would be embarrassed to repeat such garbage. It makes no sense. Well, the normal procedures, but it got through. Really? And now how many people have you infected? How many people's lives are going to be impacted? How many people are scared now and stressed? And you know, I mean, you may not have gotten it, but you got to go get the test and got to go get the shot and all of that. All because you decided to eat a little poke. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration on Friday alerted the public and local health regulators in California, Texas, and Oklahoma that potentially contaminated frozen yellowfin tuna steaks and cubes sold by Hilo Fish Company to distributors may have been eaten by consumers in those states over the last 2 weeks. It may have been. So I kind of chuckle at that. You see, it confirms my statement about the nonsense and don't trust the state government. Who the hell is going to go out and buy fish that, and then the state comes back and say it may have been eaten? What do you think they did? They bought it and took it home and threw it down the garbage can? Why not just say, if they purchased it, if it was sold to them, that meant it's consumed, or either they got it in their freezer, right? They're freezing it, holding, or didn't eat it, or it's in their refrigerator, and it still has contaminated, or it's contaminated with hepatitis. Now, remember now, how they scour, and they showed you video and pictures how Genki Sushi and other places are scouring their place and steaming and to disinfect and all, because anything, the boxes that was touches and the paper cups. But yet here, it may have been sold, it may have been eaten down there. There should be bells, whistles, and sirens going off. We encourage you, if you haven't eaten it, throw it away. Contact the state, your local state people. But it's such an apologetic, lethargic process, the way the government approaches this. So no value on your life, apparently. And the FDA announcement said Hilo Fish had a private lab test shipment of ahi and found samples of fish from the foreign supplier, one in Vietnam and one in the Philippines, to be contaminated with hepatitis. Both countries provided, and remember I read to you 2 weeks ago, I shared with you and read to you shipments that contain hepatitis. It wasn't these shipments. But Kerry Unimoto, president of Hilo Fish, said the company began voluntarily testing seafood after the outbreak of hepatitis at Genki Sushi. You see, now how many of these things that we had come in? And once again, he volunteered. So that's such a nice thing for him to do for us. God bless his soul. He should get to heaven and have the front row seat. Whatever they're going to have sermon, he should be the one doing that. But then on the other hand, he's selling it and the process wasn't followed. And yet, you see the garbage, how the state and the FDA allow this process to take place. They're just sitting back there. Did anybody get sick? Well, we've got to be careful. We could be sued. We don't want to destroy the business. We don't want to impact the fisheries. We don't want to do this. And we have to be careful because, it might offset a cost, trigger some problems with blowback on the local fishing market. Well, how about thinking that it might cause some negative impacts on an industry here that's trying to operate by the laws, and yet you're allowing, and in the newspaper, this ahi is the pictures of ahi. What impression does that leave with the people consuming it? So anyway, I will say and submit to you, you may not place any value in this conversation today, but I guarantee you, with the current state of affairs, I've found this to be of concern years back. I personally filed lawsuits against the big chain stores to say that you must refrain from labeling the fish or failing to notify the public and displaying that the fish is imported and previously frozen, treated with carbon monoxide. That's how serious I am about this. That's how what I recognize it to be. And we don't know who's dying from it. And we don't know who's getting ill or debilitated or handicapped. We don't know. Because there is no study. The State Health Department and the FDA, all they want to do is a steady hand at telling the same old lies, putting the same old lame explanations, giving the reporter something who's not going to dig deep and say, well, we've been here before and before and before and before. And it's the same excuses. So I hope and pray for all of you out there, because it's something that's uglier than you can imagine. And if it's hepatitis, you didn't hear in that article that they were then, because they brought it in, they were then forced to scrub and destroy all of the other fish, or they didn't sample all the other fish that they may have had in their facility, in their holding facility. And how this worked now, in many instances, some people that were in the industry importing does not have the cooling or the refrigerant space. So down by the airport, there's a, I think it was Unicor, one of those companies, they rent freezer space. So you import and you have a freezer. So should they, when there's discoveries like this one that inadvertently slipped through, or the procedures weren't followed to detect hepatitis, shouldn't we be reading that the whole facility was shut down and sample and instead just the fish, but the whole sampling, the boxing, the shipping process and all of that? So you're, I would don't want to say we're sitting on a ticking time bomb, because it's don't have to be that way. It's just, it's on your dinner table. That little cup of poke that you buy, and I've already explained to you why it comes in that shape and form and what have you. But please exercise some caution. Just contact your state legislators and ask them, what are they going to do? It's just that critical, folks. And many other fish now, so you'll understand, are treated with carbon monoxide. Because, again, it does not retard aging. It does not slow it down. It does not do anything. It's just to inject it to keep it looking palatable. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead. Hello. Going once, cookies, hello. I had a call there, but couldn't hear you. 524-1080 if you want to call back. But anyway, there's so much for that, and I've posted on Carol Cox, will be posting, I should say, this afternoon on Facebook, Carol Cox, and you can see all of the links that are over the years that I've put together on news stories and what have you that talks about and gives you an idea. And listen for the common theme. Oh, it failed. We missed this procedure, or we're going to do this, or it went to other states and we didn't know, and it came in and it was this and that, and the same old lame-ass excuses that you could ever find, and people's lives are threatened. We're an educated society, and at some point, we'll do some respect. Someone should say to us, you know, those are smart people. They just eat a lot. They really care. They don't want their grandkids sick. They don't want themselves to get sick. They don't want anyone to get sick. But the way the rules are, we could play loose. You know, I don't expect it to happen like when in China we had reports here about the plastics and melamines and what have you that were in food, and they said that they prosecuted some people by shooting them or whatever. Don't expect that. But if you're bold enough to engage in this business, knowing the potentials and knowing, because your two inspectors in Asia, when you decide to buy from a distributor or a supplier in Vietnam, at minimum, that person should go there. Your Asian agents should go there and sample and look to see how what their methods are and what the country's requirements are and treatment and HACCP and, you know, the whole process like they do here. You step out of line here and you got yourself, you're going to lose some big bucks in this state if you were to be visited by the people that enforce HACCP and the regulations. they'll be over you. You might as well sell your boat and move out of country. But if you import it in a cardboard box, hey, the parameters and the boundaries are loose, man. You know, there's no out of bounds for these people. And that's the way it is. But anyway, there's so much more, and I'm putting together some other things. And again, we've had 3 years of Ige, and this is what the kinds of things you can expect with any state government agency under Ige. Nothing changes. Fancy words. It brings out the people that involve. You don't see that nervous twitch in people that commit violations or conduct business that poses risk to and potentially to the people or consumers. You don't see any of that. You see, they're just these explanations that they gave. It's like, wow, clearly there's no ramifications or concerns for being enforced and tripping up on their tongue and committing themselves to statements that would lend itself to prosecution or fining them or rejecting their shipments or giving them stricter inspection and what have you, or more frequent inspections or intensifying inspections or designing. So I see that this morning's paper, the Star Advertiser, there's a list of people that potentially the candidates and that might run against or run for the office. There's Bustamante, the gentleman on there's the Jill Takuda, the manager of KGMB, and maybe a few others. But I, like them, are willing to say that this gentleman is not serving us at all. If you know anything about the state agency's functions and response, most of the times state agencies would respond to you and just feed you a little bit on the lingo. They were arrogant and out of touch, but they would talk to you even if you were a Democrat. You know, they wouldn't deliver anything, but at least they were accessible. But Blangiardi is going to run. That's what they're saying, suggesting that he might run. So why do you think these people think that they're going to run? Is it because Ige is such a force to reckon with? He has a record of success and concerns for the public, and he's been aggressive, and he's been tearing down those walls of dysfunctionality and these practices. Or do you think they see in their daily reactions or interactions with this Ige that it lends itself to them saying, well, hell, I could do it myself. I'll run for governor. Takuda, I don't know who she would be running for, if she's going to be running for the recycling company that she's going to run for or work for or had some relationship. Who knows? It's the way the town functions is that if you're a big business, you put your man or your woman in a position and then you fund them and they go in and voila. You don't call them by their first name anymore or mister. It becomes governor or senator or city councilman, or that's the way the game played here, you know. And so, again, anything that you look at, I'm still waiting at the bus stop for Scott Enright's documents that I've requested from him. But you see, Ige having no concerns with the public's interests, no concern with interaction with the public or the right for public to have transparency into the functions of his administration out of the people that he appoint. So therefore, they don't respond to you. And so what is worse? A guy named Neil that wheel and deal and then gives you kaka'aka? Or the guy that does not know, that is not named Wheel or Neil, does not know how to wheel and deal, but there's a lot of wheeling and dealing going on, continued from Neil's efforts. And then unreachable, out of touch, dysfunction, and surround themselves with, as I told you early on, got he and Kurt Caldwell got more talking heads around them than Vladimir Putin has. And that only comes when you either don't know what you're doing, or you know what you're doing and you want to conceal it. So you put someone at the front door, a former reporter or a person that was in the media, and then you do what you do, which is nothing, but in the interest of your business people that did fund you, or that you have show favoritism, or your fellow engineering companies or what have you, they get to make the loot. And we get to sit here and watch things unfold without any accountability. So I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I damn sure would give some great consideration to voting once again for David Ige. The arrogance just alone on Scott Enright's behavior with the dairy farms and with the agriculture farms and with the Agriculture Development Corporation and the willingness to hoard land under the ADC and deny smaller people or farmers that are craving and could make a living and sustain themselves and give food that we would all love to eat, local types of foods and what have you, and be shipping it out. But what happens? Scott Enright and with Donovan De La Cruz and the other guys at the former relators, chairmen of the Ag Department, got this mafia kind of stance on this land. I think Larry Jeff has one large portion of it, but the smaller farmers can't even get a phone call returned. This is the David Ige's legacy. So I'm not just picking on him like some of you. Well, why are you hard on him? Or, you know, he's a good guy. What do you got against him, bro? Absolutely nothing. I'm just delivering a message, what I hear when I interact with other people out in the community and from my investigations. And we'll talk about other stuff when I come back in the second hour. But hold your vote and use it wisely, folks. And watch out for that previously frozen, imported, smoked fish. I'll pass.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, we are just having a good time here. And this is, I want to try to say something here without sounding apologetic or just ridiculous, but we here, my goal is not to sensationalize anything or put a spin on it. It's just the way I might add a few colorful remarks from my Mississippi days. It's just the joy of the way we communicate, but we're not completely out of the league. It's just that that's the way we do things, but no matter how sophisticated we get and how articulate we are, but listen, you know, right after the show, I went to a news break, and the guy, the announcer goes, talks about the incident in in Great Britain, England there. He says, this is the line, I can't repeat it the way he did, but I can come close. Three people killed by eight officers shooting more than 50 bullets. If I ever go to take that route, please call me up and throw shoes at me and tell me that I'm absurd, that my whole view is absurd. I would appreciate it, because to sensationalize, who gives a darn how many bullets that the police shot to kill three people and how many policemen it was? I would think that we need to start focusing on coming up with how we treat people, what we do, and what is provoking people, and what all of those things. But why waste time? And I took it as a sensationalism. I don't think it was relevant. If you believe it was relevant, please don't hesitate to call me up and help me with some insight here, because I'm still an infant as it relates to knowledge and learning things in this big worldwide world. So I see I got a caller, but we'll take up the topic of with Mr. Ige, and we'll talk about some of the boat ramp activities around the state and the failing conditions and the conditions of ruins of Akihe boat ramp there. Poor fishermen, and caller, I'll get to you right away here shortly. Just at Kihei, the far right side of the is unusable at the boat launch. Difficult to recover your boat if you try to. The wash rack runoff and sand build up. So people are complaining that their trucks, when they back the boats down, the boat is actually sliding on down on the, with the truck and all, because they can't get traction. This is something that is really critical. It doesn't sound important to a person that is not a boater, but it's about safety. There's a rusty pipe sitting as a navigating marker. So you, king tide come in, you run right over it. And nav markers unlighted and hazard, you know, high tide or south swell, commercial boaters are catching hell. Now, something's wrong with that picture. Once again, something as simple as that we're giving dairies money and free rent and free cheap rent and all of that, and bending over backwards to help them. But the lifeblood of our system, our community, are people wanting to go fish, some of them commercial and other activities. And they can't get access to the oceans in an unobstructed way. So you have, again, Mr. Ige to thank for that. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments. Thanks for waiting. Hello. Am I missing something here? Are you there? Please call back and let me know if you're having... I have no explanation as to why you're not able to get in. Are you there? Call back again and we'll see what if that fixed it. Good morning, caller. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I didn't hear you for some reason. It's interesting you bring up, I think it's Kahi Boat Harbor.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like nothing changes. I don't want to sound too negative, but sometimes it seems like nothing changes in the state. Mm-hmm. Because I remember years ago, I think when I started out as a freelance journalist, I'd written for a publication. I don't know that it's around anymore, but it was dealing with ships. I can't recall the name of it.
Hold on, watch your language now.
Okay, boats. Vessels. But I'd written, and it was about harbors. I wrote an article about harbors.
Uh-huh.
I think it was Hawaii Ocean Industry or something like that. I was writing about the poor condition of the commercial boat slips and the harbors. This was back in the 90s. So what you're bringing out now, it seems like very little has changed. I would think that some things have changed, but it seems like very little has changed in terms of maintenance of the boat slips and the boat harbors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big concern. I mean, at least to people who are boaters, that people have vessels in docks all over in various parts of the island.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, it seems like, this is just my perspective, because I'm just recalling what I've written years ago, you know, over 20 years ago. It seems like really there hasn't been any substantial change. I could be wrong. I don't know. You tell me.
Nothing changes other than money changes hands. That's about the only change you're going to find in Hawaii, apparently. It's you know, there's a situation out in Ko'olina, speaking of boat. The Ko'olina promise is part of their development, the development company prior to that, and, you know, those covenants goes along with the land lease, right? Well, fishermen out there can't gain access, and as that's what some are claiming.
So they were supposed to allow commercial fishermen or fishermen?
Or public access boat launch ramp, yeah, because you see they're egressing and coming. The private boats are coming across the land that is owned by the state and all of that. And so it was just an agreement that was set up, and then they reneged on that and put something at Phoenicians, and that didn't work out apparently. And still yet, the fishermen are... just recently called me up and asked me, what are you going to do about that? You know, it's like, well, hell, you, there's 1,000 of you, and you can, that's 1,000 votes. You know, you can tell.
Well, it's pretty bad if they're calling you up and saying, what are you going to do about it? You know what I mean?
No, I mean, you, from stroke of the ego, man, that's some good stuff. You know, I mean, come on, brother. How many guys you got calling you up? Come on, can you fix my problem? Because I don't have the guts or the balls to do anything. Would you do it for me,
I don't have people putting it that way.
Well, I do, because that's what it is. It's like, hey, you want me to run out there and thrust myself in the front of this freight train, and then while you sit back and then go, next, you know, the
that's
governor.
What I mean. It's like people don't want to take responsibility and try to fight for themselves. They want somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't play that game. Personally, I don't play that game.
You know, we shouldn't talk down about that, because say too much negative about that, because it must be a great reward in behaving that way. Maybe it's a sensation that you and I haven't experienced, and maybe we're missing out on something, because I get it more times than many that, you know, that guys will, man, they're in my bedroom stealing everything, taking everything. Can you call them and tell them to back off? Yeah, I think I can. Oh, thank you. You know, why don't you, instead of calling...
That's my point. I mean, you know what I mean? You're just stating the logical thing. And it's like people don't want to use logic first and common sense first.
Yeah.
They'd rather go to somebody and say, can you tell me if I left my iron on, or, you know, is my car running, or whatever it is? I mean, they don't want to go and do it themselves and check and do it. And that's why I say they don't want to stand up for themselves. What I've gotten from people is, you should report about this, or you should write about this.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'd be glad to, but I have to have an outlet that will have the story. Because I can send pieces to certain outlets, and they say, nope, sorry, we're not going to cover this. Like, I wrote something about, I mean, I hate to get off tangent. I don't want to get too off tangent here. But I wrote something about Tulsi Gabbard. And I sent it to Civil Beat. And they said, you know what? It's just not for us. You know what I mean? And it was a critical piece. But I'm saying, what people have to understand sometimes is, you can't, you're not a superhero. You can't do everything. You can only do some things, and if there isn't the resources or the outlet for it, then you're not going to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the case for me, as somebody who has been a journalist and writer for 22 years. I mean, if somebody doesn't want to, I mean, I have a blog now, but
what is it?
It's on Medium, MEDIUM.com. But I don't deal with local stuff. Like, I'm not writing about Hawaii stuff. I'm just writing about broad-based stuff.
Did you write anything recently in The Nation?
In The Nation?
Mm-hmm.
The Nation publication?
Yeah.
No, but I'd like to. Why do you ask?
No, I heard a guy talking the other day. It sounded just like your twin. I said,
oh, wow.
I said, well.
I'm flattered.
But you got to understand. I thought that the Well, you named it the paper that you went to, and they
Civil Beat. Yeah.
Civil Beat.
I mean, they're good people, but you can't expect. I mean, you know, there's stuff that they want to bring out, and there's stuff that isn't. I mean, they've posted some of my articles, and I'm very appreciative for them for that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have an issue with that. I mean, but it's like anything. I mean, even when I was a freelancer, you know, you pitch stuff, and people aren't interested. They're not interested. You know. And that's what people don't understand, because they don't understand much about the media, especially when you're a freelancer like me. Yeah, I'm an independent journalist, but I'm as good as I can only get stuff out if I have the outlets to do so. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I don't know about Civil Beat. I've been here for a while, as long as they have been, and I've not had any interaction with them, so I guess
You should write something for them.
No, I don't write nothing.
You'd be a natural for that.
Why would I write for something? I have a radio show, and
right.
I have
my
TV show.
Like an op-ed piece.
Well, you know, if they came to me and said, hey, we'd like to invite you, or we talk or something, yeah, but yeah, they don't talk to me, so
okay.
I'm not in the hunt for
right. I understand
anything anyway. Other than
no,
I find a piece of knowledge that
you're
is
doing your own thing, and you're not looking for this, that, or other thing from other entities.
I don't need to be validated by any other entity
right.
other than my own self and my self-esteem. And if you don't like what I say or don't like what I write, then tough. Go pick it up on anywhere.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because that was my attitude for a long time as a freelancer. It was like, I write what I write, or I do what I do. If people like it, fine. If they don't, I never gave any thought to, you know, awards and, you know, spotlight and stuff like that. I don't care about that. Or I didn't, anyway.
That's like you go in and you see people give, they're in a group and they give one another awards, recognize, you know, it's like, well, hey, let's ask the public in government agencies, what about this guy? He's the employee of the year. Did you have any interaction with him? Oh, it was hell. I called hell dealing with him. Oh, really? And he got, well, did you know that he got the Employee of the Year award? You know, I mean, it's like that. And everybody has their own.
I never really thought too much about those kind of institutional awards, like Employee of the Year or anything like that. I've always been in business for myself, so I don't really know much about that kind of office life or whatever.
Well, I found just yesterday, we were talking about I'm over in Waipahu, and there's a sewage manhole cover. This is right by the curb. You get out of your car. So if your passengers got out of their car and stepped up on the curb, they would fall into about an 8-foot deep or a 6-foot deep hole where you see raw sewage flowing. And this manhole cover is broken, and it was covered with, and you barely could see it, and it's just, it's unexplainable. It's that with all of this high tech, we had to train to see if it would roll on the tracks and wasn't built high enough. You see how it's not who you write for. And where you write and where it's who reads this, what you write, and who gives a damn? Because let me tell you something.
I think that's true.
I just chuckled, man. I sat down and thought, wow. Either this mayor thinks he has the dumbest audience on the planet, or we are the dumbest audience on the planet. There's no in between.
Well, you know that supposedly his poll numbers are the same as Trump's.
Well, that's
for
good.
Will.
But I mean, that's okay, though, because, you know.
It works for me, I tell you what.
Oh, no, I think he should become governor. Because,
what?
Yeah.
Are
I mean,
insane?
Look, why should we half-ass do something? If the people of Lethargic and don't get mad about nothing he do, and they just piss him on and piss him on, and he says, well, I need $5 billion. No, I need $6 billion. No, Colleen, I think you ought to run for this. Colleen, here you do this. And then I think that Mayor Caldwell should become whatever the people want him to be, because apparently,
I can't believe you're saying.
No, I'm not being facetious. Give them what they want. Complete their cycle.
Nobody
man.
Wants him.
Apparently, they do.
No, they don't.
Because how dumb...
They're just living with him. Well, they don't want him.
But they're not taking any actions.
I understand, but that's Hawaii for you. Well, but that's the way it is here.
Okay, but...
People don't like things, they don't take any action.
Well, no, let me finish my thought.
Right, go ahead.
So here, you build this train, and you have the high-tech people, and you have lasers and all of that, and GPS and all. And then you come and say, well, now let's do a dry run to see if it won't roll over or if it won't hit the wires. You know, it's like, you got to be kidding me. But, you see, I went down there to look around. I didn't see a single tomato stuck on the wall of the track. I saw no apples. I saw no signs that says you're full of caca or nothing. It's just...
Right. They're going to protest him. They don't like him, but they're not going to do anything about him.
Yeah, but I guess they can get a good loan from him at the bank. He'll say good things for them.
Well, you know, he just has a directorship there.
Yeah, he directs all the other companies that come in and deposit their monies saving accounts.
That's why he's there.
Yeah.
That's why he's on the board. That's why they're paying him the big bucks.
Yeah, well... But that goes back to the status of the reporters. See, this is why people don't really care about the reporting and all that in the newspapers now, because, well, you got Andrew Pereira, who there flocked to him. You got Johnny, Johnny Gringold, the guy that was there working for the advertiser, went there. You got Curtis Lum working at DPP, watching the gate there, and, you know, and then you have, the other kid was... Van Dyke, and all these people, and then you go to the governors, you got, what was her name? She was Jody Leong, and you go to Maisie's office, you get, what's his name? He was a reporter. Hey, we get the straight story from this republic. Everything that's talked about is going to be, Boy Canseco, Marvin Boy Canseco, right?
Mm-hmm.
Call them and, hey, man, they put the spin on it because, see, they can handle the public. They know how to put the lies out, and they know how to deflect and, yeah, baby.
Right.
And, every morning, let's talk to the mayor. And then now all of a sudden, I didn't see the mayor's name in the hat or mention that he might run.
For governor?
Yeah.
I don't think it would be a good move on his part.
But who's making the decision?
For him?
Who's going to vote for him? But
that's my point precisely. Well, why would he run?
Apparently he's able to do things that we had. Well, Carlisle was in, which was thought was a great deal, but then that became a disappointment. It still is.
Right.
So who do you run? But the bigger issue is what's looming. Forget about the reporters, what they're not writing, and how ragged the reporting here in this town or whatever it is, the media and lack thereof. There's something looming. We're about to get introduced to a greater cost in our living, either through some form of taxes or something, to pay for something that we... apparently don't want. People are suggesting they don't want it now. I don't know what percentage, but I don't know if majority rules anyway in this state.
Right. It was never, when you look at the rail project, it was never a overwhelming majority for that project. When it passed the vote, I think it was the initial vote for the rail. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very close vote. So it's never been outright popular. It's never been supported by a vast majority in this county,
mm-hmm.
in this city, and on this island. It hasn't. That's just the reality of it. And the proponents of it can argue all they want.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's not going to solve anything because I believe that my effort is more dealing with me and rather than becoming an old man sitting around grumpy and complaining about everything. Just talk about it overtly, and that's it. And then at the end of the day, I pick up my camera and go take pictures of birds and figure, if the world ends tomorrow, I can lie to myself and say, well, I tried to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Because seems like everybody's, if the mayor right now could say, this, what I've learned in this town, what will happen is that they'll come up with some cockamamish story or theory that or proposal that we're going to build an airport for spaceships, for foreign and Martians and foreign aliens in, as they're doing their universal travel. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to put one at every intersection. Right? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to get the union to go, he'll say, well, I need you to support me now. And okay, well, all righty. And the union will go, yeah, well, okay, we can handle that. We're going to create jobs. That means jobs, right? And voila. Right. Now you see
I don't know if that would pass muster with the White House. Doesn't the current administration have a intergalactic alien ban that's on now?
Well, I know, but see, but we Caldwell will declare states' rights.
Oh yeah, he'll sue the government. The state will sue the government to allow interstellar aliens to come to
Hawaii.
Yeah,
but we'll sue you, you know, on one hand.
Hey, we'll call it interstellar freedom.
Well, we'll sue you for allowing immigration, you know, and the ban. But can you give us some money for this bogus rail we got here? You see the double talk?
Yeah.
It's like
bogus rail is right though.
Yeah, it's at some point. That's a nice thing about getting older. Mm-hmm. When you're younger, you think, yeah, you know, I can do this, and that's going to expose me. And then you learn, that you're not never ever should try to change a politician.
No.
you gauge your success at when you see people change.
Yeah.
Because they're the ultimate. We want to be the people that walk in that booth and.
Right.
And mark that box.
Right.
And
I've met enough politicians to know I would never try to persuade them about anything.
Yeah.
That's not my job.
Yeah.
My job is to ask them questions. They give me answers. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you're going to persuade them. They have people already persuading them. They're called special interests.
Mm-hmm.
That they're donors, the donor class. Those are the people that persuade them. Guys like me, we can't persuade anybody. Other than the public, maybe.
Oh, you can. They have their weak sides. I mean, you know, kidney shot will do good to, you know, punch him in them, you get him in the ring. You're having them boxing. Even the big guys, they give in to a kidney punch once in a while.
Oh.
You know, fold over, right?
Oh,
so
yeah,
you just have to hit the Achilles heel, to get the right spot on, and then you got their political weaknesses.
Yeah.
But if you're relying on the people, based on what I've seen, mm-hmm. I think the average guy should just spend time in paradise based on what you see in the standard, the common trend is that I vote for him because I could be voting for the worst of the worst if I voted for her or, you know, this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm thinking about asking the FDA to check the beef stew and the chili that they serve at these rallies, voting election rallies. Because I think they're drugging the average voter.
I was going to say you think they're spicing it up.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because see when they walk through that door, you talk to the voter. They're like, man, I wouldn't vote for him. He's a crook. And then the next thing you know, they got around his mustache, he got chili drippings and beef stew and rice. And you know, he's standing there and don't forget that he kissed his baby or, you know, shook his hand. Now he's a great man. You know, it's like, wow, is that what it takes to be in politics here, to be successful?
Yeah, close to it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But again,
everybody likes a good meal, I guess.
Yeah, but we the voters bear the responsibility and should shoulder this for buying into these games that they play.
When people are dissatisfied with anything, including this rail system, and there are going to be people, even if it's successful, there are going to be people who are dissatisfied with it, not happy.
Mm. Well, let me get my hammer and nail here so I can nail your feet to the floor and get you standing in one spot and tell me about this thing about Tulsi Gabbard. What is it that you wrote about her that was unfavorable?
I was just writing a...
No, don't hold back now. I mean, you...
Well, I was writing a critical piece.
Okay, you've told me that. Then yeah. Tell me, what does it contain? We're waiting with bated breath here, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's nothing special. It was just a critical piece about Tulsi.
I mean,
I was looking at the fact that Socialist Worker publication had done an article about her that pretty much exposed her as a tool to right-wing interests.
Okay.
And corporate interests. I had noted that Tulsi is a... I call her Congresswoman Grandstander because she's basically someone who doesn't allow an opportunity to pass by to get on camera, whether it's Fox News or MSNBC or CNN. She's always ready to get in front of those cameras. When it comes to actually doing something for the state, not as much.
Yeah. She reminds me of a story I heard about Congressman First. You know, they were on a tour. And, you know, she's from Hawaii and all, and we've already praised her for how cute she is and this and that and wearing and look good in her orange and blue. And so they were doing a tour, and they came up on the cannibals, and they said, and she goes, we're going to go and talk to them. I'll be first. And but she didn't hear the part, be careful, they eat people. So... so, you know... you know the rest of the story, but unfortunately, yeah. That didn't happen. But, you know, I heard something the other day, and I rarely do I pay much attention to commentary to take it to her. But they said, the Fox News people said, yeah, Tulsi Gabbard is in 20.
That was in Civil Beat, where the idea that she might run for president. And I'd like to see her try. Because as some of the people brought out on a thread I saw on Civil Beat, and as I brought out, you know, the opposition research on her, it's not going to be too pretty.
Well,
when the stuff comes out.
Yeah, well.
It's not going to be pretty.
Now, you know,
we
have listeners out there that will come to her defense.
I see that all the time.
And I ask the basic question, what has she done for anybody other than the Gabbards?
Precisely.
What that period? Give me some legislation of meaningfulness or something that... I don't mean backdoor dealings and going to Syria and then turn around and standing there and filming it and go, I was here, and all I could hear was kaboom. You know, like, okay, I got it. You want to be something, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's disingenuous on her part and whoever's coaching her not to have delivered anything, and yet having aspirations to just walk into the... But she got to understand that there are other people wanted with greater desire than she. So she would be putting herself up against an acid test that I don't think she can withstand.
If she has any sense of survival mechanism, she'll never think about running for president in 2020.
Yeah.
She'll never do it. Because there's, from what I understand about her, there's plenty of stuff on her.
Yeah.
Plenty.
Well, I don't know about that, but if someone put it out, I'd like to read it and see it.
Like anybody, when you run for office, you got opposition research. It's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, it's opposition has that right, and they're in some. But can she stand the pain? I mean, it's.
She's been treated with kid gloves. It's very clear she's protected, and once that protection is removed, I don't know if she'll be able to handle it.
And so I ask the questions about her religious beliefs and her relationships and her affiliations and the Hinduism and this and that and then the people that are local here, the sect that is she's involved in. I would like to ask her and know what is her direct ties with the group that is the gentleman that ran over Sri Shin and his son in a boat out there, Kailua. I'd like to get some, and I'd like to ask her why publicly, why would she call the brother, the surviving brother of that, the victim, and why would she just out of the blue call him? You know,
that's one of the things that I've actually been contacted by somebody who had information about this. I mean.
Well, we don't want to. We don't want to sound like we're in the ghetto. If you know something specific, I don't smear. If you got something, if you don't, then
They didn't go into detail with me.
But there's a lot of those kinds of people that it's one thing to put facts and say this person has engaged in this behavior and that behavior. But I know something, but I'm not going to tell her, you know. Then what are we accomplishing? That sounds like Donald Trump. The facts, believe you me, the facts. And I do care about the environment. You understand? And don't you forget, because, you know. But, yeah, there's so much. I'm so happy that when it first started, all of this started, and I was saying, just be patient. One thing about this country, we may be frustrated at times, but it's still the beautiful place, and it still has its checks and balances, no matter how you deride them. And as a president, get in and start talking about, you know, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. And let me tell you, the FBI, the people that work there, they are not mannequins. Contrary to what they talk about their black shoes and how they work and the women, they're not. They're human beings. They have emotions. And the worst thing you could do is go out and be critical of someone in that fashion as Donald Trump did and not expect these people to be on the top of their game when it comes to investigating and looking into matters.
Not a good idea to...
It's disrespectful.
Irritate any kind of intelligence agency, and the FBI is partially an intelligence agency, not just a law enforcement one. So it's foolish on his part.
But they're also an intelligent agent.
That's what I said.
Not intelligence and gathering intelligence, but intelligence and intellect.
Oh, okay.
You see, and you can't treat them like they're just
government
workers, looking for,
you can't.
You know,
you have to be careful how you deal with that. And what do you expect from a businessman? He thinks that he can just treat anyone like garbage.
No.
And they're going to take it.
No, but I see, even the dumbest of people know sometimes you let sleeping dogs lie and you don't rattle a cage. You don't stick your arm in there and poke and go, hey, lion, are you awake?
Right.
You know, let me see if you have teeth. You know, and then go out on a parade and a charade and go become critical of them and do what and they're protecting our interests. If he had some plan of installing all of his business friends to do the investigations, I think we could trust that, wouldn't we?
Distrust, more likely.
Yeah. So. 524-1080 if you have any comments or feel that we're deriding Donald Trump or whatever. But there's been so many apologies for Donald Trump.
Really?
Oh, God. I mean, people are there. Well, give him a chance. It's a steep curve. And it's like, really?
I think he was given a chance, and he failed.
He's failing, huh?
Failed. I mean... He's somebody who can't even sell ice water to Eskimos. I mean, it's terrible.
Well, this is what I'm not trying to be detective, policeman, or anything. Mm-hmm. This is what I have real concerns with. To all those people that have their own visions and views of what the president is and how great he is. This is what I say. We spend millions, and we're worried and sensitive about the president. Wherever he goes, he has a little red button, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here he is twittering, and you know, the average monkey on the street now knows that there's people paranoid. Oh, turn your cell phone off, take the battery out, because they can ping you and know where you are, right? Mm-hmm. And so, okay, if the Russians or anybody, forget anybody, if I want to know where the president is at this time, I'll just go buy me one of those newfangled gadgets and put in there and wait for his tweets, and oh, that's going to do a ping, or his phone calls to his friends or girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever, his buddies, golfing buddies. All of that, the enemy knows exactly where he is. So if it works on my phone, and, you know, and people worry, oh, they'll know where you are, you know, they can trace you by your phone, then wouldn't the president, shouldn't somebody in his circle say, hey, you look, dude, each time you carry that thing you call a phone, each time you use it or don't use it, it's sitting in a signal. So everyone knows where the red button is.
Right.
That alone, and forget all the other political excuses and what have you, and he did this to Obama and Obama. Just that alone, that people in Congress are not excited or concerned about that.
I get the feeling this is just my general appraisal. You know, I'm not getting specific or anything. I get the feeling with people of all sorts, not just Republican, not just Democrat, but Republican, that they just want him to fall on his sword. They just want him to mess up to such an extent that he's got to go. That's what they're waiting for. They don't want to be the ones to actually stick the sword in, but they want him to fall on a sword.
Boy, that's a liability. Hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you doing, sir?
Hello.
Sir, the Midlands.
Yeah, go.
Better.
What you got for...
Well, today I want to thank you for being, where you're at and doing what you're doing. And you keep it up, because there's not too many other stations that has somebody that's like you and really, you know, tells it what it's like. The state especially. When you were talking about Iggy, he's been a real disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And I voted for him, so smack me on the head. let's get to Trump. I didn't vote for him.
Yeah,
with this climate thing, I think he's put his first nail in his coffin. Because this is going to take him down, because this guy is illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
Totally and completely.
Yeah.
And I read some of his tweets. You may not be too far off there.
Yeah.
But I don't read any of his tweets. I just know that his tweeter is probably as big as this, you know, ding-a-ling.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, boy.
I haven't... okay, I'll trust it.
I don't want to be anywhere near that, okay? I don't even want to think about that.
Well, you two gentlemen are bringing out a good subjects and stuff.
Okay.
So keep it up, and I'll be listening to you next week, guys.
All right. Thank you.
God bless.
All right. No, what has to happen is that I think people don't appreciate... When a guy can come in office and then turn and start to deride agencies like the FBI, and I'm not defending them, they can defend themselves, mm-hmm. but just for a general conversation, you got to be the stupidest thing on the planet. The stupidest, because you have an obligation for decorum. If you have doubt about the FBI, then the last thing you want to do is communicate those doubts to the enemy. See, these are things that people are missing. So that in itself is cause that we should say, where is this guy coming from
right.
with this out of left field? To be critical
yeah.
of the very protections we have in place historically,
right.
and you deride them and then publicly
mm-hmm.
undermine them and yeah. become critical,
right.
and then you have people, McCain, hero and all, but he... Two got a well. We need to give them time. Oh, this is unacceptable. And you know they can't seem to make their minds up.
McCain can't stand him.
Yeah,
and he's trying to be the sort of nice guy. He's trying to be nice about it, but he can't stand him.
Yeah, but this is America is not look. America does not need nice guys. America at this point, we're in a crisis, brother. We are in a crisis where the Russians. An enemy, a known enemy of these states, have done egregious behavior, behaved in a way unacceptable. It undermines everything we stand for. I know some of you, yeah, a lot of things aren't perfect, but still yet it's America. So I stand back and say, rather than get caught up in the conversation, and I marvel that people are willing to make excuses when the basic things, you attack the FBI, you attack the Naval Intelligence, all of that. And then to add insult to injury, you have well-known, supposedly educated, honest American soldiers, high-ranking officials, defending his nonsense.
Well,
that's scary.
Yeah. I mean, here's my take on it. My view has been, generally speaking, I'm a believer in etiquette and decorum and protocol. If you're in a certain position, or if you're professional, you act in a professional way. You're in a position, you act according to the dictates of that industry, of that job, of that group. And in the case of the occupant of the White House, he's behaved in a way that's disrespectful, open to people who work in intelligence agencies, law enforcement, and other aspects, in a way that most residents that I'm aware of, in the history that I read, do not behave publicly in that way, because they understand you can't treat people in that manner publicly.
It's not their purpose anyway. They're removed from all of that. And,
right.
And for a person to call and be elected as president, forget decorum or anything. You have certain things you are concerned with, and confines that you have to operate within. But I hear all of the talking heads on TV and the congressmen, and they're unwilling to say what's at stake here.
Right.
It's nothing to do with Barack Obama. Let's say Barack Obama was the worst thing ever happened on the planet, and we agree to that. But what about this behavior that we witness, and that you're exposing our intelligence, you're exposing our military, you're exposing everything on a whim,
right?
On child's play,
right?
And they can't seem to cross that line and say enough already.
Yeah, they don't want to cross the line because they want Trump to destroy himself.
Well, let's see,
they want him to destroy himself, and they don't want to get their hands.
But see, that's saying while they're acting, they're being just flat out stupid. They're being intelligent. No, they're just un-American. They have no concern for America. Because if they did, they would put an end to this crap in a heartbeat. They'd have hearings, they'd have committee hearings, and get to and flesh it out and look for the facts and be on. And God forbid if the Democrats are manufacturing something, as they claim, that gets rid of that too. But until then, this is the hogwash that's being passed around. It has nothing to do with American. These guys that are unwilling, I watched TV this morning, and the young lady, the ambassador from the one of the Carolinas, Nikki
Haley.
Oh my God!
Well, she's nothing but a quisling. She has no backbone.
Well, backbone.
Most of them don't have a backbone anyway.
I don't have a backbone, and I don't even think I have a TV. I got to call the health department and have it decontaminated because I puked listening to her. She could not answer. And these are people with the American interest. You can't have it both ways, being political, and then at the door is the monsters knocking on America's door and undermining everything we stand for. And they're standing there, well, you know, Barack Obama went and bought an ice cream cone in Hawaii for 50 cents. Well, yeah, we didn't ask about that. We ask you, how is it that this man could try to convince or interfere with Comey and the firing of him and all these other things? And you understand. Yeah, but Robert Kennedy was John F. Kennedy's attorney general. Yeah, but this ain't got anything. Robert Kennedy didn't say, I want to put a secret communication system in the Russian embassy so that Americans can't hear it. You see the stupidity that's being bantered? Hold on.
That doesn't surprise me.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Not to get off the subject, but when you opened the show, you started talking about the fish and all that. And that got me thinking about, you know, people buying water from machines around in the islands, especially Oahu. And you know, if you go to the mainland, and I'm not trying to compare the mainland to Hawaii in any regards because people don't get upset about that, but I'm going to say this. Every machine that you go to has a certification from some type of department from the state that that machine has been cleaned, that machine's got the proper filters. What we're relying on is companies that own these machines, like I'm just going to say a food lane. You go in there, you know, that's a prime example. And the ones that are outside of these gas stations and stuff, you won't see no certification that someone had checked that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a long time ago, my friend was working for one of these guys over on the Big Island, and he was ordering his filters from China. Okay, you know, and I'm, you know, out of respect to him, he did change them, you know, on a regular basis, but what's in those filters? You know, what kind of chemicals, what kind of BPAs, what's in there? You know, and we got to rely on drinking water from a source that anymore today, it's not like the old days where you drink out of the pipe and you didn't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, you've got to worry about it.
Yeah.
And it just scares me. You know, that's like a ticking time bomb. If there's anybody in the state listening to this show, I sure hope when you go to fill up your water bottle, you think about this. You think about it. Even a dirty, you know, barrel that you fill up.
Right.
That's one thing. But the source.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, what are we drinking?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'd be interested in talking more about this and actually looking at, because I was up in Halaba looking at some bottled water companies on something else, and I'd be interested, the inspecting machines, do they even clean them, or do they have requirements? Do they, all of that? Big question,
exactly.
Huh? So you, know, you have my email, right?
Real quick, up there where you're talking about, there's a big company, I'm not going to say the name, and I went and examined their website, and they said on one page all these awards that they won. Well, I got to looking at these awards. I said, wow, they got a whole bunch. I zoomed in on them. They're nothing but thank yous from companies that and different organizations that they sponsored the water at. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, what? Okay. So I took it a little bit farther. I went to the BBB. How many complaints? Oh, my Lord. I'm going to say this company starts with an M. Well, all you people out there, and you know, you go by their company in the daytime, their water trucks are getting loaded out in the sun, and that stuff sitting out in the sun, that's a big number one no-no
mm-hmm.
when it comes to water, because mm-hmm. the BPAs can be released from the chemicals that
the
are
plastics,
made up of that plastic
yeah.
into the water.
Yeah.
Little explosions, micro explosions, yeah. and just leaching off all that stuff. Hey, please, please, do me a favor. Do us all a favor. Do a segment on that.
Okay, send me an email. I like to keep in contact, and I will. And we're down to the last minute. It's Carol at CarolCox.com.
Carol at CarolCox.com.
Two R's, two L's. All righty?
Okay.
Thank you. All right, and Albert, I got to go.
All right.
Thank you, and thank all you listeners. Appreciate you calling in and listening. We'll be back next week. Aloha. Go to Carol Cox Facebook and also ThinkTech Hawaii on Tuesday at 12 o'clock, ThinkTechHawaii.com.
they call a drink. Everybody, relax and watch me work. Ah!
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.